Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, coming up here in just a few minutes, Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana Republican Party, joining us, I think, from Whitefish. I guess I should have double checked. Maybe he's back on Capitol Hill this morning for the swearing-in ceremonies. You got Troy Downing being sworn in. Assuming they get the Speaker of the House vote all wrapped up here later this morning, Montana time, or later this afternoon, well, then Troy Downing will be sworn in as Montana's Eastern District Congressman, and then Congressman Ryan Zinke will be sworn in for another term as the Western District Congressman for the state as well. But yeah, Don Kay joins us once a month for a monthly update, takes your phone calls and more. We've offered up the same opportunity to the Democrats as well. So he'll be with us in a few minutes. It'd be great to catch up with him. Not only do we have the congressional delegation being sworn in today, Tim Sheehy being sworn in as your United States Senator, joining Republican Senator Steve Daines. First time in 114 years now that Montana will be represented by two Republicans in the United States Senate. But really what's great to hear is that Tim Sheehy is already sounding off, and especially in the wake of at least one, maybe two, maybe three terror attacks in America here already in the new year. Tim Sheehy says this is exactly why we need to get President Trump's national security team in place as soon as possible. Yesterday on the show, we talked a little bit about, of course, the terrorist attack on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, and then also this crazy story about the Cybertruck that exploded, the Tesla Cybertruck that exploded in front of the Trump Hotel down in Las Vegas. I'll tell you what, the more I read about this story, the more questions I have. Jim Hansen, the former Black Five blogger, a special operations veteran, says just something, you know, absent some major revelation about his life, this smells off. You've got, you know, a special forces guy who just became a team sergeant. He's got a brand new baby. He says absent some major revelation about his life, this just smells off. And then other special operation veterans like Matt Tardio are saying, wait before assuming guilt. I think the biggest red flag was when they reported yesterday that he died of a gunshot wound before the vehicle blew up. Now, you could have a time delay, so there's still a way that you could explain why that happened. But there's just so many things about that story that do not add up. So I think a lot of us have questions about that. But regardless, now they were saying, I don't know if you guys heard about this, that in Idaho, in the state of Idaho, they had what they believe is an IED that was discovered near a freight train in Idaho. And I think many of you, many of us, feel that this may be just the beginning of what might be planned for this country because of our wide open southern border. I mean, these instances that we talked about were on our own soil from apparently American citizens. But with all the terrorists that have crossed our border in the last 4 years, the ones we know about, the ones we don't know about, what else could be in the works potentially?
This is Fox on Football. Week 16 of the NFL season brings a ton of quarterback changes, and none more notable than the Atlanta Falcons, who are benching veteran Kirk Cousins in favor of rookie Michael Penix Jr. Cousins has struggled recently, but the 36-year-old is accepting the decision made by head coach Raheem Morris.
You know, there's a standard that you know, I have for myself, and the team has for me, that unfortunately, you know, I wasn't playing up to that standard consistently enough.
The New York Giants have announced that they will be going back to Drew Lock to be their starter, who missed last week's game with a heel injury. Meanwhile, the Tennessee Titans will start Mason Rudolph on Sunday, as second-year quarterback Will Levis will head to the bench. And the Cleveland Browns are going with Dorian Thompson-Robinson to start Sunday in place of Jameis Winston. For the latest NFL news, go to foxsports.com. For Fox on Football, Tony Genualdo, Fox News.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, if you hadn't heard this news story, apparently an explosive device, what they believe was an IED, an improvised explosive device, discovered near a freight train in Idaho. Here's the Fox News Radio report.
Cops responding to a 911 call about a suspicious person along the railroad tracks discovered the explosive device, which they describe as an IED, on a step connected to the outside of the train car. Police followed footprints in the snow to a camp trailer where they arrested a 40-year-old man. A nearby bomb squad was called to remove and detonate the device, and the FBI is now assisting in the investigation. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Oh, that ought to be reassuring, right? The FBI, the woke, politicized FBI that we've seen under the Biden regime is assisting in the investigation. That ought to be reassuring, right? Molly Hemingway with the Federalist sent out this tweet. Fox News was reporting that the FBI had zero intelligence on Dean Jabbar before the New Orleans terror attack. Molly Hemingway said this: usually the scandal is the FBI had the terrorist on its radar and didn't prevent the attack. In this case, the scandal is that the FBI didn't have the guy who publicly joined ISIS on its radar because it was too busy raiding Mar-a-Lago and going after parents and pro-lifers. Let's see, on a related front, have you guys seen the police chief down in New Orleans? Have you seen, like, video of her? What a disastrous press conference the other day. You had the FBI agent, I think they introduced her as the FBI agent in charge. She immediately jumps in front of the cameras at this press conference after the New Orleans terrorist attack and says, no, this is not a terrorist attack. And then they had to fly in somebody from Washington yesterday to say, well, this is unequivocally a terrorist attack. And then you've got, you know, New Orleans, where they had these street barricades that weren't even functional. And then on top of that, why didn't they block off the sidewalks? And then you look at the police chief and you listen to this police chief down there, and it's like, and then you see the FBI, you know, the initial statement here. Oh, this is not a terrorist attack. This is not a terrorist attack. It's like they immediately want to rush to downplay the risk or the threat of terrorism. Oh, no, not terrorism. Actually, it is terrorism. And I was just thinking, like, the best way to describe this, John Jackson, the Joker from X, who joins us every Tuesday in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, and then a couple of his other, you know, former law enforcement buddies, I mean, they were making some great points about this police chief down in New Orleans. I mean, here you have all this stuff that wasn't working, that was malfunctioning, on the eve of the Sugar Bowl, on New Year's Eve, into New Year's Day. And it's like, but anyway, they were making the point. Do you guys remember the show, The Beverly Hillbillies? The police chief in New Orleans looks like she was the granny in The Beverly Hillbillies. And all I could think of when you got the, you know, the woman from the FBI stepping in front of the cameras right out the gate. No, this is not a terrorist attack. And then, you know, granny from The Beverly Hillbillies, you know, stepping up there. It's like, wow, they really put their woke foot forward. Are they putting their best foot forward, or are they putting their woke foot forward down in New Orleans? We just got to get more serious as a country again, especially when it comes to things like security. And that's why, yes, we're counting the days, 17 days until President Donald J. Trump is back in the White House. And that's why we're so glad that Tim Sheehy, who will be the next senator from Montana here later today, is saying we've got to get President Trump's national security team in place as soon as possible. And look, how many terrorists have come across our, not just our southern border, but our northern border as well. If that's just the ones we know about, how many do we not know about? Speaking of President Trump's national security team, Tom Homan will be a key part of that. He is the incoming border czar for President Trump. Listen to what he had to say on Fox News.
The threats aren't over. I've been on this network for 4 years talking about the threats coming across the southern border. And, you know, we got a record number of known gotaways. Over 2 million people enter this country. We don't know who they are or where they came from or what the purpose come to this country. They weren't vetted. They weren't screened. They weren't fingerprinted. We don't know who they are. And since the Border Patrol and CBP arrested well over 300 people on the terrorist watch list, how many of that 2.2 million who escaped apprehension, who escaped vetting, who escaped fingerprinting, came from country-sponsored terror? Even Christopher Wray, the director of FBI, said numerous times under testimony in front of Congress that this is the biggest national security vulnerability he's seen. I agree with him. So we're not out of the woods. This country's in grave danger. We need to secure that border. And despite what's happened the last 2 days in Las Vegas and in New Orleans, this administration is not stopping. They're still releasing thousands of people every week through the CBP One app, the ACHMV program, and Border Patrol continues to release people in this country without proper vetting. This is not a good thing, and I can't wait for the new administration to take power and secure this border and protect our national security.
Well, the police chief was...
All right, there you go. Yeah, that was Tom Homan and that audio from the Trump War Room via X. Here's President Trump himself on Truth Social. With the Biden open borders policy, I said many times during rallies and elsewhere that radical Islamic terrorism and other forms of violent crime will become so bad in America that it will become hard to even imagine or believe. That time has come. Only worse than ever imagined. Joe Biden is the worst president in the history of America, a complete and total disaster. What he and his group of election interfering thugs have done to our country will not soon be forgotten. Make America great again. That was from President Trump. Meanwhile, like, what is Joe Biden up to? Giving medals to Liz Cheney. That's definitely got to be today's, oh, for Pete's sake, moment.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Every so often, we seem to be on the cusp of some technological change that purports to change everything. Once upon a time, it was nuclear power, which was said to make electricity so cheaply that it wouldn't be worth the cost of installing customer meters. Superconductors, cold fusion. They once had a buzz, but nothing happened. There are billions of reasons why the blow-up of interest in AI, artificial intelligence computing, doesn't fit in that tradition. That's because of the dollars flowing into making it happen. And most of us know through our own experience that it's already happening. That's because customer support has been one of its first applications. Other immediate applications have been marketing and sales, software engineering, and research and development. The consulting firm McKinsey projects that the incorporation of AI into business operations could more than double the rate of productivity increase in the economy over the next few decades. Will that really happen? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
The investigation continues into the New Year's terrorist attack in New Orleans, in which at least 14 people were killed after being hit by a vehicle driven by an American veteran radicalized by ISIS philosophy. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas commenting on Fox's Your World Thursday.
The ISIS goal is to have Americans live in fear
and we cannot allow them to succeed.
However, incoming Trump National Security Advisor, Congressman Mike Waltz of Florida, says it's important to learn how and why the suspect was radicalized, telling Fox and Friends Thursday that terrorists don't believe the war on terror is over.
They still hate us. They are plotting and planning to attack us, and we have to be on maximum guard.
Walt says one of the keys moving forward is to close the border to limit chances for people on the terrorist watch list to enter the country. Kevin Metzger, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Well, Florida Congressman Byron Donald says he is supporting Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, and he expects everything to be decided here later today back on Capitol Hill. And then he expects it to be fairly quick, too. And, of course, President Trump offered his complete and total endorsement. That's a quote for Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. But Byron Donalds expects that process to wrap up fairly quickly. So especially compared to the last go around 2 years ago. And then after that takes place, we'll have one new member of Congress from Montana, and then, of course, with Troy Downing being sworn in as the Eastern District Congressman, and then Congressman Ryan Zinke will be sworn in once again to represent the Western Congressional District. Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana Republican Party, with us here for our monthly update. Don, this is pretty incredible. I mean, this is some good news to highlight here this morning. But first off, hey, happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year, Aaron, and Happy New Year to all your listeners across Montana. The MTGOP really had a lot of accomplishments in 2024. You know, it really was an historic year, and I'm proud of where we were able to get done, and so proud of our staff and all the volunteers and our candidates, and everybody worked together. And also proud about the Republican Party across the country, you know, to end up with a historic victory for President Trump, not only in the Electoral College, but in the vote. And I really like the way he did that by campaigning in states that were probably not going to go his way electorally, which Republicans have in the past, disregarded, like California and New York and what have you. And he was able to get a lot of votes in those states, being very populous states, and shown that we really do have a mandate going forward to, for conservative values, you know. And today is a big day. Today is the first day of the 119th Congress. So that's very historic. And, you know, at 10 a.m. today, Aaron, in Montana time, Tim Sheehy will be officially sworn in, you know, as the U.S. Senator of the state of Montana. That is unbelievable. 100 years since we've had two Republicans. And then, of course, in the Congress, Troy Downing, as you mentioned, a new member of Congress, and Ryan Zinke from MT1. Will also be sworn in.
Yeah, first time in 114 years to have two Republicans in the United States Senate. Do you feel like some Montanans, some people are already kind of taking that race for granted? Because I think, at least I feel this way, like that was a fight. I mean, John Tester had like $200 million spent on his behalf. He had the overwhelming amount of money, dark money especially, out-of-state money, favoring him. He ran a nasty campaign. It was just despicable, the campaign that he run. Whereas, you know, Tim Sheehy, he really stayed positive and focused on the issues as well. The Navy SEAL veteran, he'll be sworn into the Senate here in about an hour and a half. But not every, you know, there were a few states where Republicans won the Senate race. You know, Donald Trump, especially back east, really helped those Republican candidates get across the finish line. And And so I guess I just but there were some states where Trump did well and the Republican Senate candidate did not get across the finish line. And I say that to say that I think there's I don't want some conservatives out there and everyday Montanans to just rest on our laurels and think, oh, yeah, that was going to happen anyway. No, it was a dogfight over a year before that, before the election day. And it took everybody to be all in to make that happen.
Well, that's true. And, you know, it starts with the candidate. You know, you got to have the right candidate. You know, Bernie over in Ohio, Bernie Marino, former car dealer, no Bernie. And he did, you know, he was a good candidate, and he was able to win over there. And, of course, Tim Sheehy, great candidate from Montana and will, you know, can represent us real well. And, no, it was a dogfight. But for us to win by 8 points on a three-term sitting senator is really unbelievable because of what you mentioned, everything that was going against us. But the point is that we were able to put together a campaign by working together with place. I'm going to give a shout-out to AFP and Jesse Ramos down there across Montana. They did an excellent job of getting the vote out. The party did the same thing. That's what our mission was. And then we had our candidate that was willing to work, all the volunteers all over every 56 counties in Montana were able to, you know, do what they needed to do to get that vote out. And we were able to crush them. And, you know, not only crush them there, 8 points to beat John Tester with all that money is huge, but every other candidate won by at least 20 points. And I think Christie won by like 26 or something like that. So I think we're in good order. We got majorities down there in the legislature down in Helena. We would have done better except for gerrymandering, but that's another story. But the point is that we've got solid majorities, and now we have majorities in Washington, D.C. So it's time to make it happen. You know, it's time to our conservative agenda forward and get things done.
That's right. Yeah, I remember in the 2000 elections here in Montana, the Republicans did very well then, too. Swept almost every single statewide office except for, you know, public instruction. Now, of course, Republicans swept every office, including superintendent of public instruction. But then just a few years later, they lost it all. Now, I think the dynamics were different then compared to now. I think while you know, I worked for Conrad Burns at the time, the sitting U.S. senator, and we defeated Brian Schweitzer. But Schweitzer was a tough campaigner. And so just a few years later, he comes back, wins a governor's race, and really he rebuilt the Democrat Party. But I think the dynamics are different today, where you don't have a, if you want to call it, rising star on the Democrat side. They have no bench whatsoever. They have zero rising stars. I mean, Zoe Zephyr is the symbol of the Montana Democrat Party, who's got that radical, you know, chop off body parts of off of kids transgender agenda. I mean, yeah. But that being said, what's the risk to, you know, Republicans have now basically won it all except for, you know, the Supreme Court getting fair, more fair justices on the Supreme Court. We got the Chief Justice. He'll be fair, I believe. Won't rule the way we want all the time, but he's going to be fair. But what's the risk to Republicans and to conservatives if they don't deliver from your standpoint? Because they could lose it all at some point.
They could. And the point is we've got to work with the governor. The governor has an agenda that he's put together to move things forward. I feel very confident that the Senate and the House will work with them. And when I say they need to work together, you know, each one of them are definitely separate, but we really have to see places that we can agree on and move things forward. Like, we got to cut taxes, you know, to allow hardworking Montanans to keep more of what they earn. You know, that's going to be real, real important. You know, like I said, the governor's outlined his priorities, and that's reducing taxes and increasing public safety. You know, we've got to legislate. We've got to work with Democrats where we can. There's still a few moderate Democrats out there that we can work with and, you know, move forward. But, you know, you mentioned Brian Schweitzer, and when he was running the Democrat Party, it was a different Democrat Party. Like you mentioned, now Zoe Zephyr is the, you know, is basically the face of the Democrat Party, which has been much to their, you know, demise. Like you said, they have no bench, but they could work it back if they would come more to the middle. And we just need to, as conservatives, show Montana that our agenda is working and that we're the best choice for them. So we got to be careful, you know, going forward. And, you know, now that we have the gavel, for lack of a better word, we need to produce. We need to get things done for Montanans where we can have, you know, economic freedom, prosperous communities throughout Montana, and strong families who have access to opportunities, because the woke agenda is directly contrary to what those three things that I mentioned.
That's right. That could be one of the best services that the 2024 elections provided for the American people, is hopefully put the final nails in the coffin of the woke DEI ESG agenda, because I think the American people clearly rejected that nonsense. Don Kay, hold that thought. Let's sneak in a caller here as well. We take your phone calls here as Don joins us for a monthly update, 406-294-0970. First up, we got Kat in Eastern Montana. Kat, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
Yes, Don Kay, congrats on all of our wins, massive wins, while you have been the chairman of the Montana GOP. So thank you so much for your skills and hard work. That being said, about a month ago, the Montana Legislation Rules Committee got together, voted to allow Zoe Zephyr, the trans lawmaker, to use women's restrooms. And in my opinion, that's impermissible. Four Republicans voted for it. That goes against Trump's mandate and Tim Sheehy's common sense platform. Are you willing and ready to put forth the energy and funds to primary these four Republicans who are voting against the common sense of our state and the Republican platform? Thank you for your time.
All right, Kat, thanks for the call, and Happy New Year to you. Don Kay, your thoughts.
You bet. Happy New Year, Kat. You know, Kat was a big, big, you know, she went under the moniker of Tester will not be reelected, as you know, Aaron, and some of your listeners, though, but she was a big part of our victories.
Oh, she was hammering Tester and the media and the Democrats every day on X with her tweets. Yeah, it was great. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'm hearing the music. Don Kay, hold that thought. We'll get your response to Kat's phone call right after the break, but I got to hit this hard break. So stand by, hold that thought. Sorry for the interruption.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, back to it here with Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP, joining us from Whitefish here this morning. I may get to see Don pretty soon in Washington, D.C. for President Trump's inauguration, so I think that's going to work out. So that's going to be absolutely incredible. 17 days, 70, not that anybody's, you know, keeping count or anything. Right. Don Kay, yeah, what do you think? I know there's been strong pressure against the GOP weighing in Republican primaries, but what do you think? Is there going to be more pressure? Is that something that you think that the statewide GOP or some of these central committees will be more open to moving forward?
Well, since I've been the chair for the last 6 years, I have discouraged getting involved in primaries. I don't know. I don't think on your show, but I will be retiring from the Montana GOP chairmanship in June when we have a new election. So our new chairman or chairwoman will be, will kind of move the direction of the party. But I think it's not good for the party or central committees to get involved in primaries. That being said, first I want to remind everybody that when you go to Helena or Washington, D.C., you're not perfect, and you make some bad votes from time to time. I think what we have to do is look at the whole vote of the person. You know, if they voted one time that you didn't like, I don't know that takes away from your support. That being said, if you don't think that is the person to do. I don't think it's the party's job to do that. I think it's a group of individuals to get a candidate, kind of like we did with Tim Sheehy. We weren't happy with John Kester and what he was doing in Montana, and we didn't think he was representing Montana, so we had a candidate, Tim Sheehy, that everybody voted for in the primary, 75%. We put him forward, and he won. That is the process that needs to be done, a group of individuals putting a candidate forward. But I do expect more of that going on as the Republican Party has become stronger and stronger. The things were gerrymandered, most of these, unfortunately, in my view, most of these districts are not competitive. They're either full Democrat or full Republican. So you're going to see a lot in that. So the legislators know that, and they need to vote their conscience, but they also need to vote as their constituents want. So I think that was a bad vote. I wouldn't have made that vote like Kat was talking about. I think that goes right into the woke policy. But I also know that people make mistakes in the heat of the moment. We need to give them a little grace sometimes, but hold them accountable and talk to them and see if we can get them to change their mind.
Well, and there is time. I mean, that was the rules for that House rule. So what they allowed, and I saw some of them were defending their votes. They were saying, well, we just wanted to keep the same rules that we had in the last legislative session. It was this one particular case, this one particular instance. We don't want him to get more attention than he's already getting and just move on and move forward. But look, the left-wing media is going to do whatever they can to prop up Zoe Zephyr, whether you vote the right way or not. So just vote the right way. But you're right. There is more time. I think if they were to vote to allow men into girls' bathrooms or women's bathrooms all across the state, clearly I think a lot of voters would see that as a red line. But maybe they'll have that opportunity to fix it with a broader policy or a broader rule to that extent. So, you were talking about the Democrats. It was interesting. Politico had a piece here. Let's see. This came out just after Christmas. Is the Democratic brand toxic? A growing number of Dems wonder if going independent will help them win. So here we go. They know that the Democrat brand is toxic, so they have to call themselves independent. They have to run as something else. Basically, they have to lie to the voters in order to try to win elections, which ties in with judicial reform and so much more. But I also thought it was interesting. There was, I think it was a Hill article interviewing John Tester on his way out. And he was trying to virtue signal and lecture Democrats, you know, we got to go out to rural America and talk to everyday people. But it's like, well, John Tester would never come on this radio show. He wouldn't go down the hall to the country station and talk to those guys. He wouldn't go across town and talk to several radio stations. So, like, who is he to lecture these people about getting out and talking to people? But the broader point, though, was he was saying, you know, hey, Democrats got a little out of the mainstream with their issues. That's where that reporter for the Hill should have pressed. Oh, how so? Please do explain. Because I think if anybody ever asked John Tester the question, did Zoe Zephyr and all the attention that he gets hurt your campaign? I'll bet you he would say, yeah. I'll bet you he's ticked at Zoe Zephyr. But will he actually say it publicly? Who knows?
Well, you know, John Tester's a phony. We know that. I mean, he's really a far left guy. He always has been. If you ever talk to somebody that served with him in Helena, he's been a charlatan the whole time he's been there. And he was strategically put in the Veterans Committee and everything. And he did a good job for staying there you got to give it to him to stay there for three terms. That being said, we basically outed him and see what he was. But the brand of the Democrat Party has gone so far to the left, not only nationally, but if you look at pretty much, except for your Butte Democrats and a few exceptions, they're pretty much all far left woke people like the person we were just talking about. And that's not going to fly in Montana. And you can go out and talk, like you said, you can go out and talk to rural America all you want. There was a candidate, a Democrat candidate, that went out and he was bragging on X all the time that he was going here and there and all over the place. And he lost more than any other Democrat in the elections. Now, he went out and talked to those rural people, but he didn't have a message for them because the brand of the Democrat Party is so far to the left. I would like to see the Democrats come more to the middle, be maybe middle left, where they successfully have been before. I think it would be better for the country. I think it would be better for Montana if they would do that, because the far extremism on the left-hand side is so bad that people have rejected it. We're done with your woke stuff. We're done with your, men in women's bathrooms. We're done with indoctrinating children with drag shows. Look what the media has done, Aaron. You know, I was watching football last night, and they got advertising about drag shows, some show with drag queens. Are you kidding me?
It's everywhere you go. I mean, you can't even watch
a 10-year-old kid.
You can't watch a movie or a TV show these days without, oh, here they go, just shoving the woke agenda right in your face every step of the way. You mentioned the Democrats hoping that they will move back towards the middle. You know, it's interesting. I saw an interview that Representative Katie Sullivan did. She is with a Big Sky Chat House, which is a liberal blog. He was kind of whiny after I set him straight. But anyway, Katie Sullivan, though, I went to college with her husband, nice guy. But anyway, she is the Democrat House Minority Leader now. She's out of Missoula. And she is saying in this interview that they are going to go back to focusing on pocketbook issues. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. They may say they're going to do it, but you just watch. They won't be able to resist themselves. The woke is too strong. It's kind of like a Star Wars movie here. The woke is strong with these ones.
It is. It is. And I hope that she does and leads her party that way. I hope she does. I agree with you. It's going to be really tough because the people that have been elected in the Democrat Party, the ones that are winning the primaries are on the far left-hand side of the spectrum, you know, with few exceptions, you know. And even Silver Bow County is becoming more Republican because of it. They're done with it, too, you know. I've said many times I grew up in a union household, and those are normally Democrat voters, and I understand how these people think. They're not woke. They're gun owners. They're, good Americans. They're flying the American flag. They, you know, like to recreate on the weekends and work hard. Those are the kind of people that we have in Montana, not these far left loons in Gallatin County and Missoula County that, you know, are around the universities that think that they know everything. The elite, I like to call them the left hand side elite. And these people, have ruined America, have ruined the national media.
That's why 17 days can't come fast enough. Yeah. Don Kay, hold that thought. Don Kay, the chairman of the Montana GOP. We got just a quick few minutes left here. We'll get to Sean and Big Fork and more after this. Plus, I've got messages from Dan in Billings and Greg in Big Fork. So I'll share those messages as well right after this.
Here's the morning Sean Hannity update.
We have a constitutional system, as Jonathan Turley points out, that allows for overlapping protections of individuals from abuse of prosecutions. It does not always work as fast as they want. But anyway, he's arguing if you cannot prove the existence of a Trump enemies list, a Biden pardon is the next best thing. And after years of lying about, you know, pardoning his own son, why would and never doing this, why is this now paramount in the minds of the left? And I just, again, don't take what I'm saying to mean or interpret it to mean that I'm supporting it. I'm just telling you that I think that it's likely going to happen.
Join Sean later today right here on the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, ready for a home upgrade without the hassle? Well, give your home a fresh look in 2025 with new custom window treatments thanks to our friends at Blinds.com, where real design experts make the complex. They make it very simple. Now, if you have a complicated project, no problem. Blinds.com, they will make it simple, fast, and easy. Schedule a free professional measure for you as well. Now, think you need a designer to visit your home? You don't. Now, shop from the comfort of your home on your schedule. They'll even send free samples right to your door. There's no question that shopping online will save you time and money, and something we could all use a little bit more of, especially with the new year upon us. And since Blinds is so affordable, well, you can change the look of your home for a great price. Blinds.com has covered over 25 plus million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Now shop Blinds.com right now. Save up to 40% off on select styles. Plus you get a free professional measure up to 40% off. Limited time. Blinds.com.
Okay. Rules and restrictions may apply. All right, it's the first Friday of 2025, the first Friday of the new year. We better do an open lines Friday, taking your phone calls from all across Montana and giving you the chance to be heard all across Montana. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Good to be back with you here in this new year. It is going to be a big January. President Trump's inauguration, a new legislative session here in Montana. I'll be at the SHOT Show and more. Taking your phone calls, you name it, Montana Talk, statewide 9 to 10.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
On Grand Avenue, or you can give us a call at 406-252-6969. Montana Harvest, where people get healthy.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Greg in Big Fork sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Greg says, it's more than just the primaries and candidates. We need to get the rhinos out and the Liz Cheney types gone. You don't see problems with the Democrat Party. They're all lock and step. You'll never see a Democrat vote Republican, but you'll see Republicans vote Democrat. I mean, that's right, whether it's the moderate ones voting against the rest of the Republicans, or even sometimes the Freedom Caucus ones will vote against the rest of the Republicans and aid and assist the Democrats as well. Good point there, Greg. Dano in Billings says, who are the Republicans that voted to allow Zoe into the women's bathroom at the Capitol? I couldn't remember the names, so I looked it up real fast here. In the state Senate, it was Senator Wendy McCamey out of Great Falls. In the state House, it was David Beatty out of Hamilton, Brad Barker out of the Red Lodge area, and Courtney Sprunger out of Kalispell. All right, let's go to Sean in Big Fork. Sean, do you have a quick question or comment before we run out of time with Chairman Don Kaye here?
I do. I disagree with Don Kaye's statement saying that the GOP should stay out of the primaries. I believe that the central committees should be vetting the candidates going forward. How else are we going to get the rhinos out? For example, in the Flathead County, we vetted the candidates, Courtney Sprunger, who happened to be one of the ones that voted for this woke bathroom men in the women's room in Helena, was vetted by us, and she didn't get through. You know, the candidate running against her was supported by the Central Committee. But then you have the governor turn around and come out with an endorsement list. And on his endorsement list, three out of the four Republicans that voted to have men in the women's room were endorsed by the governor.
And yeah, I don't know why he endorsed so many legislative candidates.
He gave her money in the primary, and he's saying that he does not believe in supporting primaries, yet he almost maxed out his donation to the candidate from Kalispell who voted for men in the women's room.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call. And we're short on time. We will have more open phones coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But thanks for that call. Don, I want to get back to you there. So, yeah, your response to Sean and Big Fork there. And if I recall, I thought the Flathead County Republicans
were complaining they didn't want the parties to get involved in the primaries, but then eventually they did also make endorsements in the primary level as well. So for what it's worth, anyway, your thoughts?
Well, the beauty of the Republican Party is we can do what we want. The central committees, I've never made deep, never forced them to do anything I couldn't have if I wanted to. So, you know, they have the choice to do that. I disagree with it. I don't disagree individually. Individually, if somebody wants to support a candidate in the primary, like he mentioned that I did, I think that's okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But as the chair of the Montana Republican Party, I'm not endorsing anybody, you know, with that position. And that's what that's kind of how I think it should be. That being said, whatever you agree or disagree, the bottom line is I agree with the caller when he says we've got to get the right people to represent us. And if they're not doing it, they need to be challenged in a primary. No doubt about that. If we feel that they're not doing that. And again, people make mistakes and we need to work with them. And I don't think that the bad thing about having a central committee or the Montana GOP endorsing somebody is if that candidate loses and the other one comes in, then they have a chip on their shoulder and maybe will not, help out the local committee when they want something done or what have you. So you got to be careful. Again, individuals can do whatever they want to do.
All right.
But I think we have a pretty good system. And I'm grateful for this great country we live in.
All right. Well, Don, okay, great to have you on the show. As always, thanks for taking phone calls, mixing it up with our listeners. Always a good time. Appreciate it. Again, Happy New Year to you and yours. And, yeah, we'll watch later today as our, you know, first time in 114 years, two Republican U.S. senators sworn in to the United States Senate. A huge accomplishment under your role as chairman.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Every so often, we seem to be on the cusp of some technological change that purports to change everything. Once upon a time, it was nuclear power, which was said to make electricity so cheaply that it wouldn't be worth the cost of installing customer meters. Superconductors, cold fusion. They once had a buzz, but nothing happened. There are billions of reasons why the blow-up of interest in AI, artificial intelligence computing, doesn't fit in that tradition. That's because of the dollars flowing into making it happen. And most of us know through our own experience that it's already happening. That's because customer support has been one of its first applications. Other immediate applications have been marketing and sales, software engineering, and research and development. The consulting firm McKinsey projects that the incorporation of AI into business operations could more than double the rate of productivity increase in the economy over the next few decades. Will that really happen? I'm Patrick Barkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.